The True Vine Charismatic Church International presents our weekly audio podcast with Reverend Tete Jangma. Let this message fill you with the Word of God.
You remember last week, we did something regarding the passion of purpose. And we said purpose number one is the reason for which you were created. Number two, the intent for which a thing was made. Number three, why a thing exists. We're talking about why the thing was specifically wired. Number four, purpose is God's script for your life. You are an actor of God on earth. What He has scripted and written in the volumes of His book is what you discover and live by it. We said in the French, purpose is from the word purpose, P-O-R-P-O-S, which means to plan. In the Latin, it is proponere, which means to propose. So if you put the two together, God has proposed a plan for your life. If you follow your passion, if you follow your purpose, we said it will give you passion, two, ambition, three, it will give you a desire for living, number four, aspiration, number five, enthusiasm or zeal, number six, you will have an enterprising spirit, number seven, motivation, number eight, determination. Am I adding some that you don't have? That's all right. By age 30, Jesus had started His ministry. But by age 12, Jesus had discovered His purpose and had begun to affirm it. When the mother and father went around looking for Him, after they took Him the first time to Jerusalem, 2 days they sought for Him and couldn't find Him. Then He said, "Didn't you know that I must be about my Father's business?" Today, we want to look at another dimension of purpose. And we're looking at fulfilling your purpose. In fulfilling your purpose, we are thinking about what you do to make your purpose happen. Please turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. We read verse 44. Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 44. This has been called the parable of the hidden treasure. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hid in a field, that which a man hath found, he hideth for the joy thereof goeth, he hideth, and for the joy thereof goeth and sell all that he hath and buyeth the field. When you have purpose, there are some things that will begin to occur in your life that you must follow. You must necessarily follow. And when you do, these things bring blessings to your life. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? So what is purpose? We have said that purpose is the reason for which you were created. And where does purpose come from? Purpose comes from God. Purpose cannot be obtained necessarily from your environment. If something directs you from your environment, it will eventually lead you to God. God is the one who made you. He created you. and he wired you for a purpose. So if you're looking for your purpose, the starting point is to link up with God. This is where you develop a prayer life and a word study life and a life of being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. So you develop an active prayer life. You develop a strong desire to study the word and to meditate on it. And you also develop a desire to be led by the Spirit of God. So that it's the Spirit of God that will guide you and begin to reveal to you and show you the purpose for which he has brought you into this world. Is somebody hearing me? If you discover your purpose early and you start developing yourself toward it, it's likely you will have some good accomplishments before you get into your old age. So it's significant that while we raise our children, we try also, apart from taking them to school and buying clothes for them and giving them decent accommodation and putting money in their pockets, we must be concerned about what God called them to do. One of the ways is to start praying for them even before they get conceived. Can I hear an amen? To pray for them during pregnancy, to pray for them after they have been born and while they are growing. As a parent or as a guardian, you have that responsibility of praying for them, for God to show them what he has called them to do. You must not force upon them a profession that you would have wished for yourself, that you thought was prestigious, and that while you couldn't fulfill it, you want to have them fulfill it as an extension of your life. I remember while I was working in the university, there's this student that came to study architecture, and he was in that department, but apparently he was in the wrong department. So after an academic year, the highest he obtained was a C and had a number of F's. In other words, he failed a lot of papers and had to switch from architecture to business administration. Now, it's important to appreciate the fact that when you begin to link up with God, it is his desire to help you accomplish the reason for which he has created you. There are some of you that will become bosses of yourself if you knew what God wants you to do. There are some of you who may be working somewhere and it's an excellent idea, but you have something working for you because you understand what it is to be called of God. Now, when you have, or when you know your purpose, one of the things, the first thing that you will notice in your life is that you have a certain drive. So your purpose will determine your drive. And by drive, I'm talking about passion. Passion is a strong emotion to which people are normally attached. It is your passion that will lead to action. And it is your action that will lead to results. So your passion does not make you sit in a chair and doesn't make you say that, oh, I've been called of God and I want to be a great preacher. Lay hands on me. But your passion will make you start from the rudiments, from the basic elements. It may be helping clean the church. It may be running on errands. And it may be joining one ministry or department of the church. So basically, you notice that there is a certain strong emotion that gives you inclination to do something. gives you inclination to get involved in an action, which action will result in rewards. Number two, passion would also bring you a strong desire to become what God has said you should become. There is a difference between we having a potential coming from God and we working out the potential to be what God says we must be. If God has given you the potential to be an electronic engineer, if you don't expose yourself to the right environment, to the right knowledge, to the right tutelage, and to the right mentoring, you will never discover this completely. So passion will give you a strong desire, a burning desire, an overwhelming desire to become what God wants you to become. In your sleep, that passion will be there. While eating, you are reflecting over that passion. While taking a walk, this passion is on your mind. You're looking for opportunities to do something about it. It's a strong desire. You cannot move away from it. Number three, passion is something to which you get devoted to. Somebody may get devoted to music, or eat music, dream music, sleep music, and that's the passion. Another person may get devoted to clothes designing, or may get the idea of doing interior decors, or may get the idea of training to be a top carpenter, and the person devotes his or herself to anything that will help facilitate that process. Passion gives you a reason to keep working at something until you become excellent in it. Passion will give you a reason to keep working, to keep trying after you have failed, after you have been unsuccessful. Passion will keep you trying and trying until you start perfecting in that thing and you become a better person. So, number one, like I have just said, passion will give you a drive. Turn to the next person, prophesy to the person, receive the drive of your purpose. Oh, come on, come on, come on. Purpose will give you a drive. Now say it loudly, turn to another and say, receive the drive of your purpose. That drive is what we call purpose. When you are lying down, something pushes you to get up and start reading, to get up and start watching a video that is related to the area of your calling, to get up and attend a seminar, to get up into that church service. That's what your passion does. Number two, passion gives you focus. Passion gives you focus. So passion gives you an aim to live for. It results in undivided attention. I'm talking about purpose. Forgive me if I'm mistaking purpose for passion. It is out of purpose that you have passion. But when you have passion, You must focus. You must have undivided attention. Your attention must not be scattered. It must not be diffused. You should not be an absent-minded person. You learn how to concentrate and you concern yourself with a thing. Apostle Paul said, this one thing I do. There was a sharpness of his focus. It was not diffused. It was not undivided. It was not diffused. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Oh, say amen. Amen. And thirdly, your passion will lead to sacrifices. Your passion will lead to sacrifices. That means you're going to deny yourself some things for now so that you will achieve some other things for tomorrow. The parable we read captures these things we have said. Matthew 13:44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hid in a field, that which when a man has found, he hideth, and for the joy thereof goeth and sell all that he hath and buyeth the field. Now the kingdom of heaven is the processes by which God governs the world. The kingdom of heaven. Hence, that is when he acts as king and lord amongst men. So the kingdom of heaven began with the expression and manifestation of Christ, where God seeks to express his kingship and his lordship amongst men. The second point you see in that parable is that there was treasure. There was treasure. Amen. Treasure is something of great value. And in this circumstance, many theologians believe that the treasure being spoken about is Israel. The Bible talks about Israel being God's treasured possession. You may check from Exodus 19:5. And Psalm 135 verse 4. The third point you take notice of is that this man discovered treasure in a field and then he hid it. He concealed it. To hide it means that he didn't set the treasure in activity quickly, but he placed it in a dormant place. You see, if the thing had remained in that dormant place forever, it would never have fulfilled its purpose. Something had to be done to it in order for it to begin to fulfill its purpose. Somebody say amen to the word of God. So there are things you may discover in your life, but in the meantime, you don't disclose all, you don't talk about it. You start interacting with the word of God, start interacting with the spirit of God, start interacting with greater minds, greater spiritual minds, so that you discover a lot more and add to it, and you declare it only after some time. So he found this treasure in a field and he hid it. Number four. The man who found this treasure has been referred to by theologians as Jesus Christ. He discovered it. So if we want to discover our purpose, then we must link up with him. Otherwise, we'll be living an ordinary life and we may never rise to the occasion that God has ordained for us. Number five. The Bible says, for the joy that he had. Now he had a certain joy about the discovery. The scriptures say the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. When you begin to discover your purpose, sometimes you may be a little, you may be filled with some trepidation, a little fear. Can I do it? Will I ever rise to the occasion? It looks so big. I'm nobody, but you are saying you are seeing me as a neurosurgeon. And have 6 years of medical school and another 6 or 7 years of postgraduate degree. It will be frightening if you're a young man. But when you start pursuing it, one of the things that you will see is that you will have joy. Oh, come on, put your hands together. Oh, no, you're not clapping joyfully. If you live a life where often you have no joy, check whether you are walking in purpose. Because if you are walking in purpose, although you've been frustrated, the joy of the Lord will be your strength. In Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2, the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. To come and die for humanity, the thought of it will be frightening. To come and be beaten and crucified and rejected by your heavenly Father on the cross will be a very frightening thing. But what kept Jesus to pursue this purpose was the fact that there was a certain joy ahead of him. He could see the end result. He could see the end product. He could see you and I being raised from the soil of salvation. And he said that this is a venture worth giving my life for. And after I've done that, there'll be a harvest of souls who will be taken away from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. Can you clap and give praise to Jesus about that? So Jesus became passionate about it. He endured. If someone is enduring, then the thing is not pleasant. He's trying his best to cope with it. He's trying his best so that things do not overwhelm him. But the thing that kept him was the joy that was set ahead of him. May you keep joy before your eyes. May God help you see the end product. May you see the end from the beginning. And as you work toward it, may that joy fill your heart in the name of Jesus. Can I hear an amen? Number six. Number one, we explained the kingdom of heaven. Number two, the treasure. Number three, when he found the treasure, he hid it. Number four, we said that man is Jesus Christ. Number five, we said that there is a joy that you will encounter when you discover your purpose. Number six, the Bible says he found the treasure in the field. The field refers to the world. It refers to the domain of the operation of the man who found the thing. You and I are in the field of God. We are in the domain of God's operation. And it's important for us to realize that there is something in the field that God has planted for us. And it shan't be long when we'll discover them all one by one and start living in the principles that will bring us success. Now look at number seven. Number seven, after he found this treasure in the field and hid it, What did he do? He went, took the treasure and sold it. The Bible says, no, he didn't sell it. The Bible says he sold what he had. He sold all that he had. He sold what he had. What he had was valuable. What he had, he cherished. What he had, he loved. But he was willing to give it away. That talks about sacrifice. He was willing to pay the price to get the ultimate reward. He dedicated himself to the cause of that thing to ensure that what needed to be done in terms of in the will of God was done, and committed himself to that cause. So he sacrificed, he dedicated himself to the cause, literally sold himself out to the cause, committed himself, was there through the thick and the thin, was there day and night. In other words, he gave it his best shot. So what were some of the things that this man had to give up? Jesus had to give up the glories that he had with the Father. Jesus had to give up the comfort. Jesus had to give up that perfect environment in heaven. Come and live in the midst of men in an imperfect environment. Jesus, although he was sinless, was now to come and live a life and take the nature of sin at the cross, with all sin being imputed unto his life, that the righteousness of God will come to us. Jesus sacrificed his love. So there are things to be giving up in order to achieve what God wants us to do. We may have to give our desires in order to accomplish God's desires. We may have to give up our affection in order to accomplish that which is the affection of God. We may have to give up our interest, our comfort, our care, and even the direction of our pursuit that we are on already, so that we embrace that which he has for us. We may have to give a life of compromise, a life of sin, and embrace a life of righteousness. So we have to sacrifice as well. We have to be dedicated to the cause. We have to be committed to the cause. We have to give it our best shot. There are three people that I'm going to highlight on who forsook something in order to become what God wanted them to be. One was Apostle Paul. This man was trained in the law, and the guy had influence with kings and presidents, and he was occupying a certain office among the people of his time. But when God called him, he had to forgo that office and accept the new office of Jesus Christ. The second person is Matthew. That person was Matthew. Matthew was a tax collector. Those days, the tax collectors were the people who had money, because they found various ways, dubious and regular ways, at making money. So for Matthew to just get up, leave his job, and start following Christ tells you a lot. That these were men who set in motion the principle of seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, so that all other things shall be added to you. You remember Peter and Co. At one time in the ministry of Christ, they looked at their lives. They looked into their lives and they realized they hadn't achieved much. They looked into their lives, they realized they had no houses. I'm sure they realized they had no cars or horses or whatever. realized they had no goods and property. Then they asked Jesus, "Jesus, what shall we gain? As we have forsaken brothers and sisters, we have forsaken houses and our jobs, what shall we gain in coming to follow you?" Oh, is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Oh, I didn't hear an amen. There is something you need to forgo in order to embrace what God has for you. Sometimes you may forgo some leisure hours in order to build yourself in faith. Sometimes you may forgo a little sleep in order to seek the face of God and to draw an anointing upon your life. Sometimes you may forgo your food, which we may call fasting, in order to acquire a certain discipline and build a certain understanding in your life based on the word of God. The third person is Barnabas. Barnabas owned lands, but for the sake of the kingdom of God, he forwent the lands and came to follow Christ. Can you ask the next person, what are you foregoing in order to serve Christ? Ask the next person. What are you foregoing in order to serve Christ? And these are some of the things that we need to look at very carefully so that we follow after the example of this man in the parable who one day just chanced in on a treasure hidden in a field, and then he took it and hid it the more, and with joy he went to sell it. He sold all that he had in order to buy that field. He sold all that he had, he sacrificed all that he had, he dedicated himself, he committed himself to a new cause. I pray that you and I will sacrifice and commit ourselves to the cause of God. If that resonates with your spirit, let your amen be even louder. Let it be louder. Very soon, you may be growing old, and you may have to appear before God one day, you and I, and we'll account for what we did. You look at a time of 24 hours. You just lay there. You do nothing. You don't encourage anybody, but absolutely live for yourself and by yourself. And you eat and sleep and absolutely nothing about the kingdom of God. I don't believe that that is the kind of reward you are looking for. Looking at the very shallow service that we are all offering to God. May God sensitize us and make us offer a better service to God. Can I hear an amen? Oh, I didn't hear a lovely amen. 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 So someone may ask, how do you discover your purpose? The first one I've stated, be connected to God. Be linked up to God. Follow hard after the Lord. Serve the Lord. Worship the Lord. Pray to the Lord. Seek his face and he will direct you. The second one is that there are areas of giftings and talents that God has given to you. There are things that you are highly gifted in and you are highly talented in that come to you naturally without struggles. You may be looking for some of these areas so that you serve God in. Number three, there are some areas that interest you. There are some areas that interest you. That is your passion, it's your desire, it's your drive. I was listening to one of the successful talk show hosts in this country. And when he was interviewed, he said, "I have a passion for current affairs." He says, "Before the news drops, I want to be present to know it." So these things enrich his program because he's well vexed in what is going on around the world. The fourth thing you do in discovering your purpose is that there are some things that when you do, you find fulfillment and meaning in it. There are some things that when you do, they give you inner satisfaction. They give you fulfillment. You feel like you have done the work of God. There are some, their calling is giving. And as long as they are giving to support the work of God, they have joy. The moment they stop giving, things go down. Amen. Can I hear an amen, somebody? Or can I hear a double amen, somebody? Some people don't want to give. Meanwhile, they have a calling to give, so they don't have joy. It is when they do give. There are some who are called to serve. And as long as they serve, they will become great. Doors will open for them. More opportunities will be given to them. But when they stop serving and they are offended, then the doors start shutting. So you must continue serving because that is the area where you have great fulfillment. There are some who are called to teach. Whether it's in an academic institution or in the house of God, they are called to teach. And they bring the wisdom of God to bear on the subjects they teach. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? So their biggest satisfaction is when they have communicated information. And for instance, in an academic institution, and everybody has successfully gone through his course or her course, then this teacher is happy. Meets their students graduating at the other end and feels so proud that I taught the current vice president. You know what I'm talking about. Feel so proud that I taught the current general of the army, because your job was to have inculcated or to have provided information which that person will have to imbibe and become a better person for tomorrow. So there are some things that when you do, they bring you fulfillment. Now let's look at somebody like Lydia in the New Testament. Hers was clothes designing. And she designed the clothes for the people in the church so well that you are there and all you realize that when Lydia makes profits in sewing, she has one thing prepared for somebody in the house of God. It was so regular that the preachers and the non-preachers that were around Lydia could feel the power of her gift. And when she suddenly died, they said, "No. This woman must be raised back to life." It was based upon that that God sent some of the apostles and they went to pray for her and they raised her back to life. Do something for which God will save your life from death. Do something. I didn't hear an amen. Do something for which God will be willing to save your life when all others have to perish. May God send an angel and say, "I isolate you from the group because you have faithfully stood for me over all these years." Can I hear an amen? Amen. Now, if you look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, the Bible says, "For it is the Lord that giveth you power to get wealth. He gives you the anointing, the grace, the enablement, the wisdom, the empowerment to get wealth. And the continuation is that you may establish his covenant that he has with you. The purpose for your wealth, the purpose for your gift, is for you to go back and ensure that the covenant with God is established, that the kingdom of God is being advanced and promoted, that things are happening in the house of God for the sake of God. Can I hear an amen from somebody? Let me give you this analogy. So why did God create us? Created you so that you work at the Ministry of Lands and Mineral Resources, or work at the Ministry of Energy and Power. Or he created you that you should work at the bank and do what? And collect your monthly salary? Fine. And take a loan and build a house and complete it? Fine. Get married, have children, finance the education? Fine. Then get to 60, if that's an early retirement, and then fine. And so what do you do after that? What do you do after that? Some of you are going to be really redundant if you don't pursue your purpose. You don't find your passion. You don't put activity into your events to see results at the end of the day. Can I hear an amen? Oh, I didn't hear an amen. There is something that you must be doing beyond your retirement. Even up to the age 100 and beyond, there must be something that you are doing in the house of God. Some of these things start very early. And when you so do, your blessings begin to show up, and God may situate you in a place that you have never imagined. It may be cleaning in the house of God, but by the time you realize, you have had an appointment for which some salary is coming. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. It may be leading prayer as the head of the prayer department that you are doing, and you're doing as your love, as your passion. You're just doing it because when you do it, you have a sense of fulfillment. By the time you finish, a ministry would have evolved around you, and God may be giving you an income from the organization where you are working. Come on, put your hands together. So the question is, what is your passion? There are orphans to be catered for. There are prisoners to be visited and attended to. There are people in deprived communities, even in the urban centers as well as the rural areas. There are people that need good supply of water and all that kind of thing. The question is, what are you doing? And what are you also doing in the house of God directly? Ask the next person, what are you doing in the house of God directly? So there are some things when you do, you will find meaning, you will find fulfillment. Number five. Remember some of your childhood aspirations. You may not necessarily be the doctor you said you would be, but you had an aspiration to be a great doctor. Maybe God will make you a great scientist in another area. Or God may make you a great psychologist. Or God may make you a great building contractor. You had some aspirations. And sometimes for some people, God begins to reveal their future to them early, like Samuel. God began to talk to him while he was in the priest Eli's house. And God began to minister to him while he was young. For some of you, the communication started when you were very young. And you need to go back, look for some of those things, and see if they line up with the current trends that God is leading you in. Number six, there are some things that you do because you have grace in those areas. I saw a man in the city of Chicago where some high-rise buildings were. They tied a rope, one strong one, from one end to the next building. The distance was about 100 meters. And this man climbed on top of one. Then he started doing the tight rope walking, and he had, he had a rod, and he balanced, and he walked from one side to the other. I don't have grace to walk on a tight rope. I look at some people in building construction, and they can climb to the highest, and there are no fences. There are no banisters. But they walk up there, and they look down and talk to their colleague. Hey, I say, hey, even standing there is a problem. Then I'll look down and say, yentem na famami. Who to me delay, crowd? Who there delay? There are some people who have grace to go underwater to save somebody dying. They can hold their breath because they have that gift. Some of us, the mere water from the shower itself make you pant for breath. Some people are long distance runners. They can run cross country, and toward the end, that's when they have speed. And I say, oh, they've been running for 2 hours. And then at the end, they speed by themselves. I say, oh, this grace is different. There is something that you have grace in. Oh, come on, begin to clap for God, that grace will fall upon. There is something. The Bible says, for every gift there is grace. So there is grace in an area of your life. And if you walk in that area, that grace will just abound to you. Doors will open to you. You may have desire to tour the world, but when you start operating in your purpose, in the area of your gifting and calling, the grace will open those doors for you. Oh, say a better amen, somebody. Sometimes you may study one thing in school, and God will call you to do another thing in the area of business. But what you studied in school was important for God because it gave you a certain discipline. It structured your life. It gave you the capacity to be analytical and to think through things and to be a problem solver. And God will expect you to use the same when you have to move into another field. Is somebody hearing me? I know people who studied. They studied classical civilization and something else, and they are now supplying hospitals with equipment. If you say you want this, they will provide it. And they are prospering in that field because God wanted them to train in classical civilization to acquire a certain understanding and to bring it to bear on the job that they are going to do. Oh, come on, put your hands together. God does not want them to feel intimidated when they meet top businessmen and they have to write a business proposal. They have some idea. They may have learned it from somewhere in a seminar or two, but somehow they've had an exposure which puts them in some managerial capacity to be able to handle people. I want you to know you may start in one area, but God will move you into another area for the purpose of God. Can I hear an amen from somebody? Can I hear an amen from somebody? I was telling you the other time that if David has said, as for me, I'm called to be a shepherd boy, and he ended there, he would have just undercut his own destiny. If David has said that, as for me, I play the violin, I play the harp, and I sing, and that's where it ends, David would have short-circuited his future. If David, at the time that he was taken to kill Goliath, and afterwards was made the army general in Saul's army, if he had remained there, I am five-star general, I have killed the people, and I've done so and so, and David would have remained there. But the ultimate thing that God had for him was to be a king. What correlation is there between somebody who plays the harp and a king? What correlation is there between somebody who plays the drums and a king? Somebody may be playing a musical instrument today, but ordained to be a king somewhere. Can I hear any? Ordained to be a top CEO somewhere. And that person may never drop this gifting. Never drop this gifting. Will make a lot of money and be a multimillionaire, but when the person walks to church, walks straight to the musical instrument and starts playing in honor of God. Come on. If that prophecy is close to you, come on, say amen to the word of God. So I tell people, don't end up, you know, forgive me for using this example. I may use that of a counselor. I may use that of a prayer department. I may use different examples. But if you say God has called you to sing, don't just sing. Oh, come on. Add some more value to what God has called you to do. You saw it in the life of David. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? You may not go into the army, but add value to what you are doing. Somebody say, I'm called a praise and worship leader, so I check out of school. No, complete your education. And then go around the world and do the crusades and sing so that the sick will be healed and the deaf ears will be unstopped, that the cripples shall be raised back to life. But start from somewhere by the grace of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Somebody hearing what I'm saying? If you're in the music industry and you're a Christian, always add the word of God. Be strong in the word of God. What kept David going was the word. And men like Asaph and Haman and others who had to work around him, you couldn't work with David without the word. Because very soon he'll be teaching that he teaches my fingers to what? Fight and my hands to war. You will hear David literally flowing in the word of God. And when you also stand, you will realize that that rooting of the word will give you advantage over all others. I'm preaching something. You must hear it and say a big amen to God's glory. By all means, seek for the anointing. But by all means, seek for the word, the truth. By all means, seek for further education. Enhance what you have. Don't leave it at that. Because when somebody comes and is complete and is total, you'll find that the impact will be bigger. And people may say, oh, I like this one. I like that one. Not that they are deliberately doing Paul and Apollos, but that something from inside ministers to them. Can you clap your hands to God's glory? I was called before I went to the university. A university does not stop your anointing. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Studying in an educational, I say you can't even go and do a certificate course 1 year or a diploma 2 years. But do something. Add value to what you are doing. You see, some of the international doors will open. Because some of the people you were in class with will mention you somewhere. Oh, come on, put your hands together. You know why the rich man's son will always get a job? Because they were classmates, the rich men, they were classmates. And the poor men too, they were classmates. I'm saying that softly. So by the time a rich man's son is ready, there's a job. But you, may God open doors for you that your children will get their jobs. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? So there's something about purpose that when you have it, you seek to be selfish. You seek not to be selfish. And you stop just looking on the inward. You look on the outward perspective to see what God will do for you. Then number 7, there are some things that you value achieving in your life. There are some things you value. Pursue those things that you value. You value the word of God. Value prayer. Value meditation. Value integrity. Value purity. Value excellence. There are some things that you value. And some of these things may be indicators to where God wants to lead you. Because you may move into a field where that is what is needed. And once you have it like Joseph, you are ready to be a prime minister in another person's country. Can I hear a very solid amen? In the training of Joseph, he didn't go to any significant school. 17 years, he was parted from his family. The first international school he attended was in Potiphar's house. Then the second international school was in prison. So if you look at Joseph's life, there was nothing really. No university education, nothing. But Joseph was learning along the line. In your frustrations, learn. In your disappointments, learn. In your pain, learn. In the mistreatments, learn. Don't grow arrogant. Don't grow rebellious. Don't grow angry and bitter. Be pleasant. Be fine. Show that when God puts you up and somebody offends you, you will not call the executioner and say, let's chop off his head. God wants a leader like David who will say, my man, don't touch me. Probably God has sent him to curse me and to throw stones at me. But David knew God would take that man's life away. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying really? So some people may go through the hard school like Joseph. And if your school is like that, I'm sure you ask God, why? Why me? Oh. Why? Why my brothers selling me to the Midianites? Why the Midianites selling me to Potiphar? And why Potiphar's wife selling me to prison? Why? Those questions you keep asking. But what you have to understand is that all things work together for good to them that love God. We like quoting up to this place. And to them who are the called, not according to their own purpose, but according to the purpose of God. All things work together for good to them that love God. So make sure you love God. And to them who are the called according to his purpose, according to God's purpose. I didn't hear an amen from somebody. Oh, shout a better amen to God's glory. All things work together, the good, the bad, and the ugly. For somebody walking in purpose, rejection from a stepmother, rejection from your siblings, disinheritance from your step siblings, and all that will work together for Jephthah's good. Oh, come on, somebody shout amen to God's glory. We are living in a season where we have to live for the purpose of God. There may be fewer price increases, the whole world may be experiencing some recession, but live for the purpose of God. And let nothing slow you down. Let nothing make you hold back. But let everything that you have in you scream at God. Give it to God. Give your best shot at God. Work hard for the kingdom of God. Put your hands together to God's glory. Amen. When there's a program in your church, ask, what can I do to advance it? What can I do to support it? What can I do to make this part happen? Tell the pastor that, can I be involved in this area if it pleases you? I hope you are getting what I'm saying. And then whatever it is, whether it's your time, whether it's your talent, whether it's your gift, whether it's your finances, whether it's your presence, release it to the Lord. And you will in no wise lose your reward. Oh, shout amen to God's glory. Oh, I say shout a better amen to God's glory. So to conclude this message, passion is the bridge that connects you to success, or purpose. Purpose is the bridge that connects you to purpose, to success. Purpose is the fuel that drives your engine of life. Purpose is the motivation that keeps you going when other things fail. And purpose is the trigger which stimulates creative ideas and imaginative ideas in your life. Purpose, when rightly pursued, will bring a change in your life and bring you transformation. Because in life, we are looking for improvement. That you were living in one area and God changes your address. That you were eating one thing and God changes what you are eating. That you were wearing a set of clothes and God changes the set of clothes. That you used to borrow, now you have paid all your debts and now you are lending and giving to many. That is what purpose, that it changes your life. Even your language, when you stand, the people that knew you from childhood cannot believe it, because there would have been a change in your life. I don't want anybody listening to me to give up. I don't want anybody listening to me to resign yourself and to say, Agmenele Tommy Dabi. Purpose brings passion. And passion brings energy. And energy leads to enthusiasm. And enthusiasm keeps you going and going and working. Even if you are not making profits, you are seeking for guidance. That's where the creative ideas begin to come in. But don't be so hit-hard and go and wrap yourself up and sit under a juniper tree like Prophet Elijah wishing to die. Get up from underneath that juniper tree. Come out boldly and begin to face the world. Because in the world, some people pass through where you are passing. Some went through worse circumstances. But today they are enjoying the best situations you can ever imagine. Some have become international speakers. And they are invited to conferences just to speak on their experiences. And when they start at that level, you find that the most discouraged person will get up and say, because of this testimony, I am going to become what God wants me to become. Let that be your testimony. Live for passion. Don't live ordinarily. Don't follow after money. When you develop your purpose and follow the passion, money will come. When that money comes, it will never go away. But if you just chase money first, when money finishes, you are almost finished. Oh, come on, put your hands together. If Isaac had followed after money, then when his first well that he dug was taken away from him, that would have been his end. He dug a second well, and they followed after him, and they dispossessed him of the well. Then he dug a third well, and it was so, until he moved into the fourth arena. People with passion cannot encounter a disinheritance, a loss, and sit down. They are the people to get up, and the next moment you see them encouraging people in the same areas where they were supposed to have lost. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, can I hear an amen? That you're going to live for purpose. You're going to be on the drive of God and the fuel and the energy of the Most High God. You're going to take action based on the plan of God revealed. Don't let that which is happening discourage you. Don't let that loss. No, 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 no. Don't sit and lay in bed and say, no, don't be regretting. There's something you can do. If even you couldn't do a whole 8 semesters of a degree course, you can be doing 1 semester of short courses. Add value. Improve yourself. Don't sit like that. Otherwise, you'll be fighting young people in church. Fighting young people in your office. Add value. Even after retirement, tell the next person, even after retirement, add value to yourself. Add value. Work in such a way that nobody will believe you have retired. So, is that clear? Just keep working for the glory of God. You cannot be retired. Tell the next person, you cannot be retired. You cannot be. You will work wisely, rest wisely. Your money will work for you, but you will still be working. Not overexert yourself so that you don't have any health challenges. Others will be employed and will be working for you because you are living your dream. Mr. Nete, very soon you will leave the work you are doing. Not because you'll be sacked. What will you be doing when you are no longer getting income? That's the question you must ask yourself. There must be something churning out money for you. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord open and enlighten the eyes of your understanding that you will perceive what God has in the kingdom for you. May God release what His purpose is deposited in you. May God give you vision that nothing can stop. And may you grow from grace to grace and from glory to glory. From strength to strength. May you not become weak. May you not become poor. May you not move into your old age lacking. There is something to be done. Pick yourself up. Discover your purpose. pursue it, and God's glory will be seen in your life.